We are in the middle of the Chida. Let's take a look over here. One more time. Let's go back to the second paragraph, 487. It's the second paragraph, the Chema Sanach. Vihine Haraf Bnei Chayeza. Everyone have it? 487 in the Perush called the Chaimas Anach. Chaimas Anach is the Chida. In the second paragraph, he's going to discuss now this idea that Klal Yisrael, when they abandon Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Galus, it is the equivalent of Hashem giving us a divorce, a get krisos. And when we have a get krisos, so then the halacha is if his wife remarries, and then she gets divorced from her second husband, or her second husband dies, the Torah says, last week's parasha, the first husband is not allowed to take her back. Lo yuchal b'ayla harishoyin asher shulcho lo shuv l'kachto acharei asher hu tamoho. After she has been defiled, she has married someone else. So over here, the question over here is that Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us into Galus, this is the equivalent of Hashem giving us a get krisos, a divorce. Matan Torah, Chazal emphasized, was a marriage. It was the marriage between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. All of the minhagim, many of the minhagim that we do at a wedding, are all taken right out of Matan Torah. Okay, the reason why the parents, when they accompany the Chosn Kala down the aisle, they have a hold in their hands a candle. They hold a candle because there was fire. There was fireworks at the time of Matan Torah. Okay, there are other, I don't remember all the examples. There are a lot of examples. I have to go back to the source. There are different examples, customs that are done under the chuppah that all correspond. Yeah, what was it?
Remember I said the other
reason. What was the reason?
Because when Amram got remarried,
yes,
he was escorted
by his children.
By
the Shushpinim. Well, the general rule, that's a whole different discussion, that they are Shushpinim. A lot of politics sometimes happen with Shushpinim. But in any event, many of the minhagim that we do under a chuppah are all taken from Matan Torah. Because Matan Torah, in the eyes of Chazal, was the marriage between Hashem and Klal Yisrael. When Hashem sent us into Galus, that was the equivalent, according to some opinions, as Hashem giving Klal Yisrael a divorce, a get. When Klal Yisrael allowed themselves to remain in Galus for a prolonged period of time, that's as if Klal Yisrael, they embraced their new culture, their new host country. It's as if Klal Yisrael married a second wife. And then when we came to realize that our host country, it's they hate us, and it's false. The ideology is sheker, and when we separated from our host country, it's as if we've gotten divorced from Galus, from the country that we lived in. When they expelled us, let's say the Jews settled in a country, and then the country expelled us. They hated us, and they expelled us. So that's as if that country divorced us, and then we say to Hashem, "Take us back. We want now to return to Eretz Yisrael." According to the laws of the Torah, it's Osir. Lo yuchal b'ayla harishayin, lo shuv l'kachta, acharei asher hu tamah. Hashem, who was our first husband, is no longer permitted to take us back after we have married someone else. And in the eyes of the Torah, marrying someone else relative to the husband is called tumah. So how then
only
is Hashem? What?
Only if it's a Jew.
Only, okay. So how am I correct? Only if it's a Jewish marriage. So the question then is how then is Hashem allowed to bring the geula? Bring the geula is equivalent. It's a violation of the halacha of the Torah, and we all understand it as a principle. This is so a very complicated topic of discussion. Is that Hashem is observant of the Torah? Whoever said that Hashem is a sure Torah mitzvah? The Torah mitzvah is for us. Whoever said Hashem has obligations to follow the rules of the Torah. Children always ask, they always test children, if it's Hashem, how is Hashem allowed to bring rain on Shabbos? It's caring. If Hashem is causing it to rain on Shabbos, so it's a Rishus HaRabim, and Hashem is in the Rishus HaYochid, and Hashem is throwing something from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus, the Shemayim is Hashem, HaShemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, V'Horetz Nosan Livnei Adam, the Oretz belongs to mankind, so the Oretz is the Rishus HaRabin, the Shemayim is the Rishus HaYochid. If Hashem sends rain down from the heaven to the earth, Hashem is throwing something from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, which is an Isser Deraisa, Tzchil Shabbos, the first Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Yitzias HaShabbos, Shtayim Shein Arba. So this is always a question that you'd like to tease children, how is it allowed to rain? And what's the answer? The answer is, the answer they give children is that it's Hashem's world. Just like in your bias, in your own bias, you're allowed to carry from one room to the next, even though the pasuk says Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem, the Eretz Nasan Livnei Adam. It doesn't mean that it's not Hashem's house. Just because Hashem gave this world to man, and man lives in this world, and it's considered the Rishus HaRabim, that's only a Rishus HaRabim from our perspective, from Hashem's perspective, it's still called the Rishus HaYochid. I don't know if that answer makes any sense, but it's a tease. But it's all built upon the principle. Exactly. So the question makes any sense. Excellent. But it's all based upon this tease. There's an assumption that the Ribbono Shel Olam is observant of what it says in the Torah. Whatever mitzvah it says in the Torah, whatever loisah say it says in the Torah, the Ribbono Shel Olam is obligated to fulfill or not do that, to do that mitzvah or not do that loisah say. I don't know. Now that's very challenging because there's a principle, Rabbi Reisman taught me this principle, is that it is usher in any way to limit the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yeah. The Ribbono Shel Olam is so infinite, we have a problem that we always like to paint Hashem in our image. We always like to mold Him in our image. We feel that we're entitled. If Hashem created us, and man is created with Tzelem Elokim, so Hashem has to conform, play by the rules. Who says? What gives man the right to limit the Ribbono Shel Olam? Just like that, he always likes to use that topic, we discussed this man so many times, about can Hashem bring upon a person a test that he will certainly fail? In the Olam they say, Hashem does not test you unless Hashem knows you can handle it. Hashem does not bring upon a person in the sight unless Hashem knows that deep down inside the person has the ability to deal with that situation. Rabbi Reisman says that he believes that statement is apikorsis. Because, you know what, who says? Hashem can do whatever he wants. So going and limiting Hashem, that Hashem can only do A but cannot do B, that goes against the grain of Yadus. Yadus believes that the Ribbono Shel Olam is infinite beyond infinite, and Hashem is not limited, and although often we do not understand Hashem's ways, that's our problem. Ki loy machshavoisai, machshavoiseichem, v'lo darcheichem durochoi, Hashem is infinite. Okay, that's a different topic. So I just want to extend that idea, take that idea, and go back into this principle that the Chidah is going to touch upon right now, and that is, whoever said that the Ribbono Shel Olam has an obligation to observe the mitzvahs? The mitzvahs, there are Taryag mitzvahs, Yisrael, V'oraisa, V'kutshe Baruch Hu, Chari, Torah is synonymous with Hashem, with Klal Yisrael, but nevertheless, after everything is said and done, the Ribbono Shel Olam is beyond. Whoever said that he has the same obligation to observe the Taryag mitzvahs the same way we observe the Taryag mitzvahs? There are very interesting Gemara in Chazal, that just like we wear tefillin, Hashem wears tefillin. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? The Gemara actually goes through all the parshios. It goes through all the we only know the first parsha. Umi ka'amcha Yisrael goyechad baretz. Hashem, we wear a talis. Hashem wears a talis. Nis'atef HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishbiach Tzibur. Kohena v'chohena, we go through all you can go through, you can try to study the different midrashim that allude to this, but there's a really fundamental question. Is that really a rule? It has to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu observes every one of the Taryag mitzvahs? Who says?
And,
what? Okay, so what does it mean exactly? So obviously it's not going to mean, yes, it's true. What does it mean then? Yes, it's a very good question. How is it possible by Kodesh Baruch Hu to observe Bris Mila? So you'll come up with some very longish answer that it doesn't mean that physically it means whatever it means, it means Hashem, whatever it means, it means. So you'll have to be creative. But the premise, show me is where is there a source for such a thing? Okay, later I want to discuss with you later if you have time today. I want to talk about the topic of the pomegranate that we say on our Rosh Hashanah night. That we eat a rimoin and we say a yihiratzon that we should have many zuchuyos like the seeds of a rimoin, and there's a tradition. Every child knows this, that there are 613 seeds in a rimoin. Show me where in Chazal it says that. Is it a Gemara? Is it a Mishnah? Is it a pasuk in the Torah? Maybe it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Maybe it's a Targum. Guess what? Take out the Oitzah HaChochma and type in Rimoin, Taryag Mitzvahs. You're not going to find it anywhere.
You're not
going to
find it in the pomegranate
either. You're not going to find it in the Rimoin either. Exactly. That's another problem. You actually don't have it. That's not even true. It's not even true. So there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that we are brought up with, and it's very challenging to find a source to things that we are so natural to us. So on the one hand, well, that's part of Yadus Mesorah. That's part of our tradition. You better even though Enoch Hanami does not say it anywhere. If this is what Klal Yisrael believes, there's something to it. Hanach lohem li Yisrael enam neviim. But on the other hand, sometimes you find people who write about these type of things and they say, maybe it was just a mistake. It was just an error. It crept in. It was some fairy tale. I don't know. You know, it's very dangerous. When do you say it's a fairy tale? When do you say that there's something really to it? And here is just one example. Here is a very important, very, very fundamental example where we have this principle that the Chida is working with. And it's not only the Chida. We have this all over. That the Ribbono Shel Olam is obligated to observe the Taryag Mitzvahs. And thus, our Golus presents a major challenge for Hashem. How will He be able to take us back after we have been kaviyachol divorced from Hashem and have remarried and now gotten divorced from our second husband? Lo yuchal b'ayla harishon l'shuv l'kachta. Well, if you want to say that Hashem is not bound to follow the Taryag Mitzvahs, the question does not even start. So the fact that he's asking the question, the Chida, he holds that Hashem is bound. Really? Show me the source. Show me the source that says there is such a thing. You're not going to find it anywhere. You're not going to find it. So why is there even a question? Hashem is not bound. No. Hashem is not bound by these rules. Okay, that's part of the issue. But v'hineh rabbi chaye zal perush b'pasuk zem uvikitzur echtav. He writes a very elaborate perush, and here he's going to summarize the issue. Uvikitzur echtav perushoy. I'm going to summarize it b'toyset as neifech with a little extra explanation. What is the Rabbi Chol? You have a good translation of the word neifech. What's the word for neifech? A dosage b'toyset as neifech. What does it mean, neifach? Spice? Mean spice? Yeah? Suf is a swim. What's the neifach? What's the neifach? What does it mean? Some type of addition. B'siyata d'shmai. Hine. Amru b'yoyma. Perek basra. G'doyla teshuva shedoycha loisase shebetar d'chsev lo yucha ba'la harishay. So here he's coming to here. This exactly this idea. That Hashem is bound to observe the Taryag Mitzvahs. But when it comes to taking us back, asay is doiche alois asay. The mitzvah asay of teshuva is doiche the lois asay of loisuchal balo harishon loshuv lekachta. It is forbidden with a lois asay for Hashem to take us back. But being that we do teshuva, teshuva is pushes away the asay of teshuva pushes it away. And the problem really is, it's our assay, not Hashem's assay. But yet, somehow, it's all the same. Yisrael, v'yoraisa v'kutshu b'ruchu chathi. So our mitzvah's assay pushes away Hashem's lois assay. Assay deicha lois assay. We are doing the assay of teshuvah. And therefore, Hashem is not bound. Hashem's lois assay. But Hashem and Klal Yisrael are two different entities. No, they're not. Hashem and Klal Yisrael is one and the same. Asay gedoyla teshuvah, shedoychoy pushes away a lois asay shebetarit, the siv, lo yichab al harishay, the kosh al zeh, the ein omim lachatoy, b'shvil she yizke chadercha. The problem is we don't say, now he seems to be saying is that this point that I just made, that there are two different entities. You don't say such a thing that our mitzvah sasei, our assay of doing teshuva is going to push away the lois Hashem's lois assay. I told you the answer is that Yisrael v'yaraisa v'kutshu b'ruchu chati, we're all one and the same. So this, when we do teshuva, it's the same thing as it pushes away Hashem's lois assay. But in the Hava Mina, in the beginning of this discussion, we're making an assumption that Hashem and Klal Yisrael are two different entities. If that is the case, then our fulfillment of the assay does not push away Hashem's lois assay. We don't say to Hashem, you should sin, you should do an avera, so we should benefit because we have done the teshuva. The chosfu ha toisofer, toisvis, the imhu goram o shui lachtoi, is an exception. The exception is a lot of lomnes here, like a dafyom yeshia, this shtickle over here. And that is, even when you have two different entities, and we do not tell one person to do an avera so that another person can merit to do a mitzvah, that's only when the two people have nothing what to do with one another. But if the reason why the person is being told to, if there's a relationship between the two, the imhu goram o shiri lachto, if the person, the reason why the mitzvahs asay cannot be done is because someone else prevented him. A person wants to do a mitzvah, but I can't do the mitzvah. You know why? Because so-and-so set up a situation that does not allow me to do the mitzvah. So that person is responsible for me being in this situation. So in this type of setting, we do indeed tell that fellow, do an avera, so that your friend can now do a mitzvah. What are you talking about? I should do an avera so someone else should do a mitzvah? That's unheard of. No, it's not. That's only when you have nothing to do with him. We don't tell you on this side of the world, do an avera, so your friend on the other end of the world, he can do a mitzvah. But when you are the cause of why he was thus far unable to do the mitzvah, that's the exception. Then we tell you, that's right, do the avera, so your friend can now do the mitzvah that he otherwise would have been able to do if not for you getting in the way. So here, Ash was saying, kaviyachol, that we are the cause. The imhu goram osh shiri lachtoi chet kal, but again, the chet has to be a lightweight sin. Kidei shechaveroi lo yechete shenat sin chet chomor, shenat commit a greater sin. So here, basically what we're saying is, that when it comes to doing teshuva, we're going to tell Hashem to do an avera and to remarry us, so that we will not continue doing more averos by being in Golos. We need to get out of Golos. Being in Golos is the equivalent to an Avera, is the equivalent to not doing mitzvahs. So we're going to tell Hashem, do an Avera. You do an Avera, and take back your wife after you divorced her, and she remarried someone else, so that we can, we will now be able to do a mitzvah and be Mekayim the mitzvahs. But the two different entities, so we're basically saying, we're blaming you, Hashem. It's your fault. you are at fault. We're coming here to blame Hashem Kaviyachol, whatever that means. That the reason why we've been divorced is you sent us away. And the reason why we're in Golus, that was obviously because of our sins. We are Bechira. But yet Hashem is a partner in our crimes. By Hashem putting us into exile, I don't know. You're right. It's very difficult.
I think there is no divorce and no second marriage. The second marriage was not Kedat Moshe Yisrael.
Okay.
That's another answer.
Eze Sefer Christus. Where is the pasuk? The pasuk in Yeshaya. Where is your divorce?
They didn't divorce Hashem. So
Hashem divorced us. Okay, let's see.
By the Maaseh Egel that he got himself involved in the Avera in order to protect Klal Yisrael. Somehow or other, right?
There is some element in that discussion. There was other issues. They killed already. Chor was already killed.
Right.
In Yehore Koin Venavi, it would have been considered if they already killed the Navi.
It would have been too much.
Too much. Okay, you're right. So you're right. There are many issues. Let's see further.
Dripping
with tzufim, with sweetness. So here, I mean, the knife with a little drop, like a drop. I guess in the context, it means a little. So it's a very popular expression. Okay, let's go. V'zeh shamar oisva hatzaleah. This is what it says over here. I will ingather.
Okay.
It's an expression. B'toisefes noifach b'siyad v'shmayim. A little expansion. A little of my own flavor. My own two cents. I'm going to inject into this interpretation. V'zehu sh'omar oisefa hatzalaya. That's what he says in this pasuk. Hashem says, I'm going to ingather the one that is limping. Shehi begolus. It's a reference to Klal Yisrael in Golus. Ve'in azazim b'kayma v'hanidacha shenitches mikoyach, that has been pushed away through the law lo yuchal ba'la harishayim. The ata now akabitza. I'm going to gather her in l'shem kiddushin k'mashu'am b'perek kam with the kiddushin atzurasi harei at atzurasi b'tabazo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. They're married. So he's taking this pasuk, and he says to me very, very interesting. He's saying, okay, the word hanidacha, is a code word for divorce. Hashem divorced Klal Yisrael. That's the word nidacha, a woman who's banished, a woman who has been sent away. Before Matan Torah, how did a woman get divorced? You take a broom. Rambam writes, the Rambam says, by non-Jews, how do they get divorced? You take a broom and you hit your wife and you sweep out your wife and you say, get out. That changes her status from an eshes ish to a penuya. She's now on the free on the market. No, by the goyim, there's something called gilui arayos also. It's one of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noyach for a man to live with his friend's wife. So what changes a woman, a non-Jewish woman, from married to not married? Well, to get married, they have a civil ceremony. That means they're married. And now, if she lives with someone else, she's chayiv nisa in violation of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. She doesn't need a rabbi to get married. All she needs to do is whatever is considered to be legal in society, whatever society establishes as a way of getting married, that is enough. How does she get divorced? Well, so the Rambam in his time, maybe today you'd have to have a civil divorce, but in his time, divorce was, you just come to an agreement that we're incompatible, there are differences that cannot be reconciled, and see you later, goodbye, and she leaves the home. That is enough. So that's called nidacha. A woman has been driven out. Klal Yisrael, we have much more. There's a get krisos, but it's the same idea. And then when it says v'ato akabitza, akabitza is a halachic term, which means marriage. Miloshein atzurasi, you are gathered into me. It's one of the valid expressions a person can say under the chuppah to his wife. Instead of saying harayat mikudeshasli, if a man says to his wife harayat atzurasi, you are gathered into me with this coin, with the tabazo, with the ring, the kedas moshev yishol, it's a legal marriage. So we take the word akabetza, which is a legal term for marriage. We take the word hanidocha, which is also a word which is symbolic of divorce. And here the pasuk is saying that Hashem is going to violate the loisase in the Torah of lo yuchal b'ayla harishon l'shuv l'kachta and going to marry us. Why? Because we tell a person or an entity, you can do an avera b'shvil sheyiske chavercha, especially when you are the problem. So we over here have a lot of chutzpah in this Maamar Chazal, and we're saying to Hashem, you are the problem, you're the one that's preventing us from being able to serve you properly, and therefore, even though you are in a legal bind where you're not allowed halachically to remarry us, so what? Do an avera. Do an avera b'shvil sheyizke chavercha, especially in this case where you are the cause. V'chi tema ein oimim l'odem l'ach atoy k'dei sheyizke chavercha. V'eich chaviyachal avar alav. Hashem is being over on the lav lo yuchal l'kachto k'dei sheyizku Yisrael l'ze omar v'asher hariosi. I am the cause. Hashem is saying, that's right, this is the exception, even though we're two different entities, I'm the cause. I created the Yetzer Hara, which prevents the Jewish people from serving me. Hashem is the cause. And in this case, indeed, it is permitted for Hashem to do an Avera and to violate a minor Avera. What's called a minor Avera? A loisase. Malchus, believe me, it's not so minor, Elohim say, but relative to what we're going to suffer, our issues of not of living in Galus, uvechi hamud of the laver ayisur kalila a light minister uchamoisha kasu haitaisus sa like Taisus says that it can't be done. Inami, okay, that is his first interpretation. He really said here quite a mouthful. Okay, we learned over here mamish a whole daf. We learned over here kamamish like a whole daf. Like a hold on one. We go here. We go over here. Come on, like a whole daf gemara, over here, and this little shtickle over here. This incredible chidushim. Number one, the yisoid that Hashem has an obligation to observe the mitzvahs. That is a chidush that is off the charts. Show me where it says a source that Hashem is obligated to observe the mitzvahs. Where does it say such a thing?
Well, obviously, if you're a king and you make rules, you have to follow the rules.
You're limiting Hashem. We're going back to the old question. Hashem is not a melech bas avadam. Hashem is infinite beyond infinite. You cannot, how can you limit Hashem? The Taryag mitzvahs were given to the Klal Yisrael. It's true, Hashem, the Taryag mitzvahs, they represent principles and concepts. But the technical details, is Hashem obligated to observe? We're working with this assumption, yes. That, we should appreciate, is an incredible chiddush, and there's no source for this. It is something that is accepted throughout rabbinic literature, that yes, this is a given, Hashem is observant of the Tayag mitzvahs. Wow, it's a chiddush. Then we have a rule, you don't tell a person to do, in this case, golus, by definition, this incredible yisoid, is a problem for us because of the Isser de Araisa, lo yuchal baila harisha lo shuv lekachta acharei asher hu tamo. It's a problem. Principle number three. There's a halacha, you don't tell one entity to do an avera in order to be mezake another person. You know such thing. Maybe yourself. When it comes to a person himself, we do find such a principle that a person should do an avera l'shem shamayim. Okay, that is a principle. We do this every day. When you write down, when you learn from a sefer, when you write down Chidushei Torah, this whole book is a violation of halacha. Dvarim shebal al pi ha. I've got the pasuk. I've got the drasha. Al pi advarim oele asher karasi. The Gemara has a drasha that dvarim. And to put it in writing. You're not allowed to take Torah Shebal Peh and to put it into on paper, words in paper. This is awesome. So how can we have the Talmud Bavli? How can we have over here the printed books? The answer is Eis Lasos LaShem Heferu Torosecha. There's no other way. There's no other way we can survive. It's an ideal. It's a very beautiful ideal, but Chazal said there's no way we can survive, and therefore this mitzvah has been annulled. Oh, that's quite a dangerous, that's a lethal statement. A lethal statement. Eis Lasa is to go and to annul a mitzvah, to go say you'll have to write Dharm. Who could say such a thing? How can you say such a thing? Look what the conservative Orthodox, what they did is they started with, oh, you can't, Judaism is not going to survive unless people come to shul on Shabbos. And the only way to get to shul on Shabbos, someone has to drive you. So it started off with Matir Amiru La'akum. Amiru La'akum. And very quickly, you went from Amiru La'akum to drive yourself. And now look what's going on now. Now, unfortunately, millions of Jews don't even know they're Jewish because of intermarriage. Call out Shayim Chacham, right? But so the after who the Chacham? The Chacham that came to an end a long, long time ago. Who can make such decisions? Ace Last Hashem came to an end 2,000 years ago. Who can go tell you? You can be mefer. You can be mefer a mitzvah. But you have to appreciate that writing down the Torah Shebal Peh is an incredible chiddush, incredible thing. And so we have over here a principle that a person himself is allowed to do an avera in unique situations, l'shma. There's such a principle of doing an avera l'shem shamayim. But that's only for yourself. There's no such thing as you do an avera in order that someone else should merit. Except when you are the cause. And we're taking all of those yisoidas, like five yisoidas, putting them all together into this one principle. The reason why Hashem is allowed to redeem us is in a chanami. When you acknowledge it's a problem, yet Hashem is going to be oiver an avera of lo yuchal b'ayla harisha moshov l'kach. He's going to do the avera. But that avera is lightweight relative to our suffering in galus. Even though Hashem and us, we're considering now to be two different entities, because Hashem is the cause. Why is Hashem the cause? He created the Yetzer Hara. And there are three expressions in this pasuk that bring it all together. V'hanidocha, the woman who has been divorced, Klal Yisrael, Akabetza, I will remarry. I will do an avera and remarry her, even though I'm not allowed to marry a divorced woman. Hashem is a kohen also, by the way. What happened to that? Yeah. Hashem is a kohen. How is Hashem allowed to marry a gerusha? How come Chazal only Darshan discussed this? Because she married someone else. Hashem is not allowed to marry a gerusha. So Hashem already divorced us. Hashem divorced us, so therefore we're gerusha. Hashem is going to break all the rules. You know why? I'll do an avera, l'shma. Oh, but it's who's to benefit? You're the beneficiary, but I'm the cause. Because va'asher hari oisi. Incredible. Would you get a var like this if not from the chidah, the seisah shel chidah? Yeah.
Why call this a divorce? Why not call it separation?
Because there's a pasuk. I always forget this part. There are two pasukim in Navi that discuss our separation from Hashem. One of them says there was no divorce. Exactly what you said. Eze Sefer Chrisus. The Pasuk Hashem challenges Klal Yisrael. Show me the divorce. I never divorced you. Don't think that just because you're in Golos, you can do every Avera under the sun.
You weren't faithful, but that's it.
I never divorced you. You're my wife. Behave yourself. Just because we're separated doesn't mean you're allowed to go be unfaithful. But there's another Pasuk that explicitly says, I forgot that pasuk. The pasuk maybe another that says explicitly that Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael a bill of divorce. Contradiction. All of the commentators struggle. One of the popular answers, the very unpleasant answer, is that Hashem wrote a bill of divorce to the Aseres Hashvatim, but not to the Malchus of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Aseres Hashvatim indeed were divorced. We're divorced, a complete divorce. Yehuda and Binyamin, the Malchus of Yehuda, they were never divorced. That's the other Pasuk, show me your bill of divorce. And here the Pasuk here is saying, is addressing, according to that interpretation, it's a very popular interpretation, is Hashem is addressing the Aseres HaShvatim. even though indeed I did divorce you, and you now went out to the Ummah Yisraelam and you assimilated and who knows what happened to you, the day will come, I will restore you. Or how could Hashem take back the Aseres HaShvatim when they married someone else and got divorced from someone else? Hashem says, so I'll do an Avera. B'chdei sheyizkeh chavercha, and I am the cause, v'asher harei oisi. But indeed, for the Malchus of Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda and Binyamin, that's right. This whole pasuk doesn't apply. It's not an issue. Hashem never divorced. Hashem never divorced us, so there is no isser. There is no prohibition. It is business as usual. There's no problem whatsoever. Because you do have to, at the end of the day, you do have to acknowledge the other pasuk, I think it's in Yeshaya, I don't remember. I think it's Yeshaya, there's another pasuk that says pretty clearly that Hashem did give Klal Yisrael a get krisus. And that's problematic. And here we have the Chidah working with that principle.
When did Hashem do that? When did Hashem give us the get
krisus? Exile. When the Aseres HaShvatim was sent out into Melech Ashur. That is the equivalent. That is not everything. Obviously, Hashem is not a physical being. It's concepts. It's reality. It's the situation. The fact that we were driven out of Eretz Yisrael and sent into a foreign land as slaves. What more do you want? Hashem, obviously, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are no, it's not like in Beis Din. You have to dot the I's, cross the T's. That's not the way it works by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a given, even though we do say that Hashem does follow the mitzvahs, but the mitzvahs, the way Hashem observes them, is not the way we observe the mitzvahs. Hashem wears tefillin, it means Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael. If you write in your tefillin, Umi Ka'amcha Yisrael, it's an apostle. There's nothing to discuss.
Obviously, Yisrael is called Yisrael.
What? That's right, okay, but there are different.
There are
different. There's the Aseres HaShvatim. This is an old principle. There's the Aseres HaShvatim, and there is the Malchus of Yehuda. There's a division, and they suffer different fates. Ohola ve'oholiva. We have here in this book, the Malchus broke up the pasuk into two parts. The Malchus of Yehuda and the Malchus of Yisrael. There are different segments, and there are different issues. The different Nevi'im that spoke different parts of Klal Yisrael.
It's not the same people.
What?
I'm Israel today. I'm not the same. I'm Israel that was before.
Why not?
We have the children. We're not the same people.
But it's the same nation.
Your mother means the other generation. You are a different generation.
Okay, but it's the neshama of Klal Yisrael is one. That's the assumption. You can nitpick. We can go through. But it's an idea. Let's finish up.
Looking for
Heter. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaroi. Okay, let's go now to the next chidah, the last expression, the last pasuk Zayin. V'samti yes hatzaleya. I'm going to set the tzaleya Yisrael shebagolus l'sheiris nachal asai. I'm going to make them into a remnant. V'hanahala. We had different perushim. Gesh holo, the banished. Okay, I love that. That was the perush we learned. Yes, that's the perush. The word ve'hanahala either means the people who have been banished, and our other interpretation from the Mitzudos was those that have been are exhausted. Ve'hanahala shehem aseres hashvatim, shvatim uvenei Moshe, the children of Moshe, yigeim miderech rechayka, they will reach. Now he writes over here b'nei Moshe, something very interesting, that he's grouping together Moshe Rabbeinu's children together with the Aseres HaShvatim. Okay, you always hear about the Ethiopians. They consider themselves, they talk about this, the Ethiopians consider themselves to be descendants of Moshe, the Cainy. Okay,
No, that's a different.
Okay, there is this discussion. I never saw this. The first time I saw this, one of the Mefarshim, like this, one of the old Mefarshim, that he took here, Mamash writes these words. He writes over here, what is he writing over here, the Chidah? Shehem Aseres HaShvatim uVenei Moshe. It's a separate category. The B'nei Moshe, he puts in its own category that they are Yigeim, they're very tired, Miderech Rechayka, because they've been banished from very far away land, Lagoy Otsum, they're going to become a mighty nation. Okay, there's an interesting point. There's two different groups. You know, you always hear about them. In Ethiopians, they had write-ups about this in the different magazines. Yeah. Remember, Vegelin magazines, Mishpacha magazine, A magazine. Every so often, they write about these groups of people who consider themselves to be B'nai Moshe. And we look at them and say, what? Where? Prove it. What's going on? What's going on? Even the Ethiopians presented a major challenge when they airlifted. Well, I've got all the terms. They airlifted the state of Israel. They airlifted the Ethiopians to Eretz Yisrael. It was a major, major halachic challenge to the Medina, to the Rabbanut, as what is their halachic status? Do they need gerus? It's insulting. It's a terrible insult to tell a person who believes that they're Jewish, has a tradition that they're Jew, a Jew, to go tell them you need a gerus misofik. How can you say that to a person? That's a terrible insult. And,
no, I don't think so. If you really want to become a Jew, then...
What do you mean? We are Jews.
Oh, they said they are.
We are Jews. We're Jews. Oh, but how come you're not... Mekayim, when it says in Shulchan Aruch, the way you observe the Torah is very different. So they'll say, well, who says that the way you observe the Torah is correct? Maybe the way we're observing the Torah. Mm. I mean, these are very touchy... They're difficult issues. And I don't know the resolution. I don't know what the resolution was. Some there were different poskim that decided different things. Some of them did demand from them a gerus misafik, and there were definitely poskim that said not.
It was a ger lekula because you didn't have shayles of mamzeres.
That's right. There's shayles of. The
either way,
and that the Gemara talks about the Yibamas also. But the reason for the gear is not because we don't know. There definitely was a problem with they didn't have the Messiah of getting the way we have it. So there's a shayla.
Mamzerus.
So therefore,
if we make them into goyim, it's matire them. We assume the halach they're goyim, so therefore they're not mamzerim. If we assume they're Jews, then we have to be concerned they're all mamzerim.
Right.
So why do we have to make that assumption? Why do we have to say that if we don't know there was a divorce? If we know there was a divorce, okay. But let's say you do not know halacha.
The course of their history, they were definitely divorced.
But if you do not know in halacha, there's an old principle which is over and over. Which in the world of halacha, what you do not know is very good. Don't ask, don't tell, and it works. It works in halacha. Halacha is established based upon that principle. Just don't what you don't know. So these are obviously the dvarim ha'imdim b'rumay shalaylam, and the biggest poskim of the world grappled with these issues.
The Gemara sets a precedence
by Ezra.
What?
Wait, by Ezra?
No, later by what do you call it? The Gemara Chanina b'Daisa that they came to her that he was matir. Certain groups.
That's at the end of
Kedushin.
Here,
what?
That's at the end of
Kedushin.
Yeah, the
old
Pericon, who's
school. No, I'm not talking about
Yuchsin. Asar Yuchsin.
Olu Mibavel,
yeah.
But it says that Makablin, Garen, and Termadoim, I think, is the Gemara's. And this was this sort of a question.
Yeah.
It's in Yavamis, I believe.
Okay, I don't know. I really do not know. I don't know. Yeah, the same thing with the Russians. Okay, you had a lot of big issues with the Russians. The same thing. Okay, let's now take a look over here at the Likutei Shas. Going back to page 484, on the bottom of 44, in the very bottom of Likutei Shas, the Midrash Tanoim Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav, a few more Mamare Chazal. Bayoyim Ahu Num Hashem Oisva Hatzalea Vahanidacha Akabetza Vasher Hariyasi. Amar Rabbi Lozer Eliyahu Heitiach Devarim Klape Maila. Eliyahu Hanavi insulted Hashem. Okay? Heitiach means he cast it. Devarim Klape Maila. He's like a child that's misbehaving and starts throwing things in the house. Starts throwing his clothing and toys. That's exactly the worst comparing Eliyahu to a child, a tantrum. A child that's having a tantrum is throwing his things all over the house. when the way he behaved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar Va'ata Hasibosa Es Libam Achayranes. Hashem, it's all your fault. The reason why the Jewish people are not behaving, it's your fault. You are the one who took their hearts and turned it backwards. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak Minayin Shechaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'choydu Lo L'Elyo. Guess what? Even though Elyo Novi had a chutzpah, unprecedented chutzpah, to say to Hashem, you are the one who caused them to do Averos, yet Hashem said, you're right. Hashem accepted his chutzpah, the chsiv, our pasuk right here, V'asher Harei Oisi. This is an explosive pasuk. Okay, the Chida really said it, but we didn't take the Chida very seriously because the Chida is a modern fellow. Okay, much more recent times, the Chida, but here it's a Chazal. And Chazal here are saying that these words of this pasuk really are very challenging for Hashem to say, Micha, to say in the name of the Navi, that Hashem saying, Va'asher Hari Osi, I accept blame for the Jewish people being nichshol in averos. What are you talking about? Hashem created a perfect world. It is man was given free will. The only one there is to blame is us. You don't blame Hashem for your problems. So how could Hashem say about himself, Va'asher Hari Osi? So you want to say, well, Hashem is being humble, Hashem is accepting blame, but he's not really guilty? You don't do that. Hashem doesn't work like that. Maybe when it comes to human beings, even though you've done nothing wrong, in order to win favor with your children, with your students, or with your congregants, so you'll say, it's my fault. You'll accept blame when you're really, really innocent. That's a technique. Because you're allowed to lie in order to increase peace. For Shalom Bayis, what? The Dizahav, but he didn't say it in such explicit terms. He said, you gave them blessing, you gave them too much blessing too quickly, so what do you expect? But Moshe never said that Hashem, you are the cause of evil. The words of Eliyahu and the words of Hashem over here are much deeper than what Moshe accused Hashem. Moshe said the word V'di Zahav. All he said was V'di Zahav. Hashem, you gave them blessing too quickly. They could not handle the blessing that you gave them. We know it's not a good thing to win. We don't want to hear this. I mean, either do I. But winning the lottery is not a good thing. Okay? Many years ago... What? But did Hashem make them a decision? Who is the one at the end of the day who made the decision to make the eagle? Klal Yisrael, not Hashem. Hashem made it too easy for them to do the eagle by giving them so much wealth, so much blessing, and there was a slight sign that Moshe was not here, and they were very nervous. It was just very easy for them to make this mistake. But Hashem is not the one who actually caused them to make the mistake. They got their wealth too quickly. So the question over here, so Moshe did not actually accuse Hashem of, you are the source of evil. Eliyahu HaNavi here is a Tiach Zem Klavi Maila, and he uses term words that are much, much more bitter, much more piercing than Moshe Rabbeinu. Vato Hasibosa Es Libam Achoranis. You, Hashem, are the ones who steered, who turned their hearts backwards. That's an accusation that is outrageous. That Hashem, you're the one who made them make this evil decision. And Hashem, even the bigger shock, says, that's right, V'asher Hari Oisi, I am the one who caused them to be evil. I mean, it's a shocking thing. By people, by you let a lie, Mishanim Mibnei Shalom Bayis. So you let a lie. You let a lie, Midarkei Shalom. So, but you're accepting upon yourself things that you did not really do in order to achieve a goal. You don't say such a thing by Hashem. Hashem doesn't lie leman hashalom. Hashem is emes, Chaisamai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. There's no such thing as a lie by Hashem. So how could it be over here? This Chazal.
Moshe Rabbeinu also said,
Lama Hariyosu Lama Hazeh. But in that passage, Lama Hariyosu Lama Hazeh means why are you causing us, in a different context, why are you causing them to suffer? He's saying it there in that context that you're the ones who cause them to sin. You're the ones who put into their minds to make a decision to worship the eagle. Moshe is just using that term there. Why are you punishing them to such a degree? They're sinners. They made mistakes. They're at fault. You're not at fault for their mistakes. But why are you bringing upon them ra more than they did, more than what? Okay, but the accusation.
So are doing the same thing here?
No, over here, the different. When Moshe said Lama Hari Osa, the simple understanding of those words, Moshe is asking Hashem to stop the punishment. Eliyahu HaNavi is coming to challenge Hashem, not for the punishment. You are the cause of why they sinned. You are the one who told them to do the Avera. You have directed their heart to make a decision to do an Avera. Moshe never said that. Moshe asked Hashem to stop punishing the Jewish people. The close that Moshe came ever to doing that was, he said, V'dizahav, Hashem, you gave them too much blessing. And because there was too much blessing, they were not able to deal with it, and it caused them to make the wrong decision. But he never accused Hashem of directly influencing their heart to do an Avera. And here Eliyahu HaNavi is doing just that. And what's the bigger shock is Hashem in our pasuk in Micha is saying, you're right. You're right. Vasher Hare Oisi.
Do we see sometimes Hashem? What's Mashan Nershal by
Sora? What Hashem say? Lomazet Sohaka Sora Lamar Vadoni Zokandi. Vadoni Zokandi. So you want to say that Hashem is lying? In order, you have to go back, maybe you're right, you have to go back and look at the Pesukim there. Does it really mean that Hashem is lying? It's shocking to say, Dark Yisholim, but Hashem, but even Hashem, the way Hashem lies with Dark Yisholim isn't lie. He says it differently, but it's MS. It's MS. He fudges it, exactly, because by Hashem, you can't be such a thing as a lie. You have to go back and look at that pasuk. Va'adoni zokanti. Va'adoni zokanti. What exactly does it mean? Va'adoni.
That's
what she said. Okay, I forgot already. Okay, so what does it mean over there? I don't know. But it's very, very, it's still very difficult. You have to be very careful. The problem is we like to mold Hashem. We very much have this pleasure in limiting Hashem. It's very pleasurable for man to take Hashem and to miniaturize him into a little action figure that you buy in Toys R Us. They still in business, Toys R Us?
Toys R Us
came after. I thought they came back. Someone bought them up, whatever. Okay, we like to make Hashem into a little action figure. You can hold it, you can turn it, you can do whatever you want. That is, man has a need to grab something, to completely be able to understand, to relate to something. That's human nature. So when we are forced to realize that it doesn't work like that, that Hashem is infinite, and you don't, there's no, it's not possible to grasp Hashem and to have an understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's very disturbing. Hashem doesn't lie. It's either true or not true. And how could this possibly be? Our whole religion is built on the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Hatsur Tamim Paolo Kichol Derachav Mishpat Kel Emuna Ve'ein Ovel Tzadik v'yashar ovel v'in ovel mila'el v'in ovel tzadik v'yashar hu. So how do you reconcile that with v'asher ha'rei oisi? I don't know. I don't think anyone knows. These are some of the most complex matters, but at least it's not, don't hide from it. Don't be a baby and run away from acknowledging that there are very difficult issues that have to be understood, and after everything is said and done, ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim, you have to accept our emuna, but don't shy away of this chazal. Eliyo Hanavi, he said, it's a Gemara in Brachos, okay, this is a Gemara in Brachos, it's very clear. Basher Haryoisi, Omar, next chazal, Omar Rabbi Chomo, Rabbi Chom, Rabbi Chanina, Ilmole Sholosh Mikores Lolo, Shemeidin, Sheyesh, Biyarak, Leshbaruchu, Lesakin, Yitzrenu, Lohasira, Yitzara, Mimenu, Nismoititu Ragleim, Shel Soine Yisrael, Bemishpat. This is a euphemism. The Soine Yisrael here refers to Klal Yisrael. We are our worst enemy. There are three psukim, okay, and one is over here. This is very important for the Yemei Hadin. And again, we're going back on the same exact principle in Brachos, that this pasuk is a revelation that I don't really know what it means. But that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the controls, even over our decisions, whatever that means. And that is a comfort to us. Because if we would not be able to have this pasuk, Va'asher Hari Osi, we would close up shop. I mean, these are very shocking, frightening things. If we would not be able, basically, to blame Hashem, kaviyoch, man did not have an outlet in him to blame Hashem. Hashem says, Hashem, it's your fault. Man would lose his mind. Man makes mistakes every single day. Every single day, a person makes mistakes.
Like, so we're in denial.
So what do we do? We make a mistake. That's it. Finished. Life is over. I made a mistake. There's no going back. It's a mistake. The damage is done. I can't live with myself. And I have no one to blame. If you have someone to blame, there's room to wiggle. Okay, there's a satisfaction, a psychological outlet. There's a way a person can go further. It's not my fault. I'm not the one who did this. Someone else's mess, not mine. And therefore, I'm a happy person. I can proceed with my life. Who are you going to blame? It's not your wife's fault. It's not your child's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your third grade teacher's fault. So who are you going to blame? I know who to blame. It's Hashem's fault. It's his fault. He did this. He caused this to happen. He made these circumstances. He's the one who brought about all these circumstances. It's your fault, Hashem. Believe it or not, subconsciously, only because a person can actually say that, a person can live with himself. But you can't say that. It's up to Epicurus to say that. Hashem created the world and gave man free will. It's your fault, not Hashem's fault. It's my fault that I'm closing up shop because there's no purpose in going on anymore. I made such big mistakes in life. Then what do you want? There's no purpose to live anymore. To say it's Hashem's fault, you can't blame anyone else in the world. There's no one else to blame. You want to say it's Hashem's fault? You're the one who brought this all about. Is that really true? Well, if not for this pasuk, you couldn't say it. But because Hashem said about himself, Asher Hari Osi, it allows man to live. It doesn't answer the question, though. It allows man, it gives man a license. It gives man a license to have a healthy outlet. It's your fault. But it doesn't answer the question. If it's your fault, what do you mean? Hashem, you made a perfect world. And I'm the one who is supposed to make the decisions in the way the world has been set up. It's a contradiction to which there is no answer, but yet it allows a person to live. And I'm not saying this is the Gemara says this. Il molei, if not, for shaloish mikrais halalu, nismaititu, they would falter. Ragleim, the feet, Shall Soine Yisrael, a Jew who makes a mistake, basically. We're calling over here a Jew who's a sinner. or for that matter, any mistake you make in life. Okay, lav dafka. Any mistake you make in life where you hate yourself for it, or you do an avera, that's really, you do an avera, you would have nowhere to move, no room to wiggle. It's as if your feet would have been chopped off, been cut down, and you would basically give up on life. A person has a need, when something bad happens, to blame someone. And Hashem is saying, blame me, I'll take the hits. Isn't that amazing what it says? I am the one that caused you to be evil. I am the one that put in your heart the desire to be evil, to do averos. And that's why when you did the avera, don't blame yourself, blame me. Unbelievable. The chad, another pasuk says, hine, this we sing, right, in Yom Kippur night. Hine kachoymer biyad hayoitzer. Just like clay in the hand of a potter, likewise, kain atem biyadi beis Yisrael, whatever happens, every decision you make, I'm the one that's molding that decision. I'm the one behind that decision. And the third pasuk says, v'chadach seva hasiroisi, I will remove, es leiv o'ev mibisarchem, I will take out the heart of stone from your flesh. V'nasati lochem lebosar. Hashem is acknowledging, I gave you a heart of stone. And what we learn today is one of these three psukim. It's an incredible, incredible idea, an incredible insight into human psychology.
We can explain it completely different. Asher ha'ra'oti doesn't mean that I did bad. I did something wrong. I made you.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Again, right, okay, that's what I said.
So then it's okay.
Why is it okay?
Hashem didn't do mistakes.
Hashem is not ra. Hashem is not ra. But I think I am caused you to be ra. I made you ra. I'm not, Hashem is not ra. Okay, that's a given. But even that's problematic.
But
I made you be an evil person. But that's also, okay, you're lightening the question. Hashem, it was never really a question. Hashem is kulu tov. Hashem is not ra. But Hashem created the Yetzer Hara. And Hashem, I made you ra. The reason why you made this decision is because I... Okay, the question is still there. What does
it
mean?
He did it to Paro.
Okay, that's a whole other issue. That's a whole different topic. But these are all very difficult issues. Okay, let's almost finish. Let's finish up over here. One more Chazal, Rabbi Yeshua ben Yor, B'Shem, Rabbi Pinchas. I'm sorry, I skip, I'm sorry. Amri, okay, it's three lines down. Amri Bei Rav, Arba Mischoreit Alehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shebet Ha'am. Hashem has regret regarding four things. How could that possibly be? Regret. Hashem is perfect. Hatsur Tam and Paloi. What are the Elohein? Golos, the fact that we're going to Golos. Kastim, the creation of the Kastim. They are the ones who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, Bais Rishon. The Yishmaelim. Okay, what the Yishmaelim? What about the Romans? How come Hashem doesn't mention the Romans? The Yishmaelim that caused all the tsaras. The Yetzer Hara. How do you know that Hashem has Charata? Yetzer Hara d'chsev v'asher harei oisi. Why does that indicate Charata? Question: what does Charata mean? Also, what does Charata mean? What's the translation of Mischoreit? What is a precise translation? Regret, or does it mean it's now time to change? Mikanu lahaba. Okay, what is nechama? Nechama means a change. Usually we like to differentiate charata versus nechama. Nechama means mikan ulahaba. Whatever it was, we're not going back. From here on, here going forward, we're going to have a change. Kinichandi means mikan ulahaba. Everything was good until now. No regrets. No regrets. The world was achieved a purpose until this moment in time. But now, there's going to be a change in plan. That is nechama. Nechama does not mean, ki nichandi ki asisi, does not mean, I have regret that I ever created man. No. It means, I'm very happy. Everything is going according to plan. But now it's time to change the channel. Now it's time to a different approach. Charata in our vernacular, usually means regret, as in English, limafreya, retroactively. Is that what it means here in this chazal? Seemingly, yes. But that's challenging, because is there such a principle by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should have charata retroactively? Do we find such a thing, that there should indeed be a retroactive? Maybe in this chazal, the way the word mischoret, it's also being used similar to the way we use nechama, means everything was good until now, but mikan ulehaba, from here and onward, there has to be a change. I do not know. Because again, it's very challenging to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has charata. Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem created the world. Hashem is infinite. Hashem sees the future. Hoya, hoive ve'yia. You want to say Hashem has charata the way we use with charata? That's quite a shock.
Charata implies time frame. That you want to go back and you would have changed.
That's my question. Yeah. The word charata in our vocabulary implies going backwards.
Right.
The word nechama
goes forward.
So the fact that in this Maimon Chazal, they selected the word mischoret, it would seem that we're going backwards in time. But that's a challenge to our hashkafa. Because Hashem sees the future. Hashem is not linear. Hashem sees hoya, hoive ve'yia. How is it possible then for Hashem to have charata? Hashem, first of all, there are no mistakes. When you have charata, it normally means you made a mistake. Had I known this, I never would. But you have that by hataras nedarim, hatara and hafara. Hafara is retroactive. Hatara is mikan al haba. So, how do you apply this by Hashem? It's very difficult. Arba mischari alei makadosh baruch hu shabarim eluchem. What makes it more difficult is what does the pasuk v'asher hari oisi have to do with the principle of charata? I don't know the answer. It's shaking things up quite a bit. It's telling us, Vasher Hari Osi, where do you see in the words, Vasher Hari Osi, that Hashem has charata? I don't see it anywhere. Hashem is making a statement. On that day, I'm going to ingather the tzolei'a, v'hanidocha ka'beitza, Vasher Hari Osi. And if you want to say the reason why I'm going to do it is because I'm the cause. I've brought harm, I've brought evil upon these people. Well, they deserved it. Or what I've done, I've done.
The pasuk after that is Vayinochem Hashem al Horo Asher Diber Lasos Liamo.
Vayinochem.
Yeah, I said that.
Mikanu Lahaba. Mikanu Lahaba.
That's my point.
So where do you see Vasher Hariosi in this pasuk means that Hashem is now has charata. I'm going to make a change. I don't know. I do not know what this is. I have to look up the Gemara's Sukkah and see what it says there. Let's finish up very quickly out of time. Hashem is in shock. Hashem was the creator. He did not even, it sounds like almost like if you put this in human terms, you're astonished with the product. Sometimes, you know, you build something. I once saw Chaim Bolle. I was many years ago. I was a little kid, and they were building the building, the new Chaim Bolle, the base medrash. And during recess, I would go. I loved to watch construction. I was fascinated with the cranes and all the technology, all the things. So I would go there to the construction site and see what's doing. So Vayihi Hayoim, the building was already, you know, it was getting there. The skeleton was up, and it comes a team of people dressed in white shirts, and ties, nice jackets, with hard hats. And they didn't look Jewish. They didn't look like it was a fundraising event. It was a fundraising event. So I asked, who are these people here? These are the architects. The architects are here to see their work. They want to come, you know, they want to have nachas. They designed the building, they laid out the whole building, and they're here to see the product. And they went in, they took a tour, they went over the building, they came out, and I overheard one say to the other, it sure looked a lot bigger on paper. I heard this with these ears. That's what he said. It sure looked a lot bigger on paper. Isn't that amazing? So sometimes you build something, here you build, how much the building costs? A few million dollars for sure, whatever it was. And here they're basically saying there is meaning failure. Isn't that what they were saying? Isn't that what at least one of them was saying? It looked a lot bigger on paper. So the point is, a person makes a product. Sometimes it comes out a lot worse than you expected. Not what you, and sometimes you get lucky. Wow, it's a lot better, a lot greater, a lot bigger, or than what you expect. It's different. So here it says with three that among Hashem, Hashem made the world. So Hashem knows what to expect. Hashem makes worlds. That's what Hashem does. He creates worlds. Borei Olamos. And when it came to this world, everything went according to plan, exactly what he expected, but with three things. Three things that Hashem was Toha Sheberon. He was shocked. This was not what I planned for. The creation is greater than what I expected. Another challenging statement. How could you limit Hashem? The Eluhain, the Kastim, the Yishmaelim, the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara, how do you know it? Bayamahu, Nu'um Hashem, that is incredible. Pasik, how we dash in this Pasik, the Chazal Yerushalmi. Nu'um Oisva Hatzalea, Vahanidacha, Kabetza, Vasher Hari Oisi. He's interpreting this Pasik, okay, this Pasik reference. This is not like we learned until now. We learned this Pasik until now, referring to who? Referring to Klali Yisrael. He's darshing this Pasik in reference to the Yetzer Hara. The Tzoleya is three words, three different words describing the Yetzer Hara. It's a Tzoleya, it limps. Number two, it's Nidocha. Everyone wants to get rid of it. It's abused. Okay, the Yetzer Hara is an abused, the most abused creature, needs therapy, the Yetzer Hara. Everyone is always saying nasty things about the Yetzer Hara. And number three, Vasher Hariosi, it is Ra. It is my creation. And thus, I gotta get rid of it. So it's incredible. It seems that for Karmel Gemara, the whole Pasuk is describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction to the creation, the Yetzer Hara, three dimensions. It limps, it's banished, and it's evil. Rabbi Berechia, Rabbi Abba, Bar Kana, Rabbi Shu ben Yor, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor, Hareu ki ilu Hari Oisi. It's as if, it doesn't mean literally, as Rav Kalman was trying to, it doesn't mean literally that I created evil. It's ki'ilu, it's as if. Trying to lighten the question that we've been dealing with over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may tohar lo yetze tame. Hashem is tohar. From Hashem, that's tohar, does not come forth tumah, evil. Ki'ilu doesn't mean Hashem actually made evil. It's ki'ilu, it's all a facade, it's all a show, it's all an illusion. There really is no evil. From Hashem can't come evil. It looks like evil. It's ki'ilu hariyasi. All right, we conclude this section. Obviously, these are dvarim that are beyond us. Yeah.
The first one, they rob, says, Arbov is correct. And it starts off the word Golos.
Here only three.
Yes, sir. Answer your question, Rome. Golos.
Golos is Rome. You want to say the census maybe manipulated it. The Roman, good point.
Why does three?
I don't know. Say a good var. Maybe the Roman, maybe there was a censorship.